Today we will speak upon obstacles created within the mind. From an absolute point of view, all problems and obstacles exist in the mind only. Actually, all of us are an eternal soul full of bliss and knowledge. But because we think we are something else, because we think we are the body and have so many thoughts on the material platform, we experience all kinds of difficulties and problems. It is described in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Let me go. Un momento. For man or woman, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects, that is the material world, is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from these sense objects is the cause of liberation. When your mind becomes uncontrolled, it becomes the worst of enemies. This uncontrolled mind, the Bhagavatam says, is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and it will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. Here you have the problem of the mind. It covers your eternal bliss or knowledge. It's just like if I have this blanket over me, I'm totally covered. You cannot see me, and I cannot see you. This is like with the mind. When the mind gets material, it covers us. Haribol. And then I cannot see Krishna and you cannot see me. So the purpose of this lecture is to take the covering of the mind away so that we see free. Hare Krishna. You were a little tired, so we needed to make some illustration. A very good example how the mind can tell us something which is not true is the example of the man who went to the Ganga to take a bath. So he offered a little Ganga water to Mother Ganga and then drank the Ganga water. It's Mahaprasad. Now you go into Ganga, then Ganga Gangecha Jamuna Chaiva Gauravari Sarasvati. You sing a mantra and then after you have Mahaprasad in your hand, it's offered, then you drink it. So when he was drinking it, he thought he saw a Purna Glavats. Glavatse, yes. And he became totally hysteric. I have come to Ganga on a pilgrimage, but now I have become a meat eater. I have eaten a Purna Glavats. So the people came to him and said, no, there are no puna glavices in the Ganga. They are only in the ponds. But he, by his mind, he had seen a puna glavice. Just like today, we were swimming in the Adriatic Sea. And then all of a sudden, I saw the biggest enemy of the swimmer, the shark. I saw this, you know, what is it, the flosset? You know what he had. And I was panicking. And then my assistants told me, don't panic. There are no sharks in this Adriatic Sea. It is only your mind. And I became peaceful again. It was not quite like this, but something like this. So this man started to feel so much pain that he lay down and began to die. Finally, one sadhu came and said, what is the problem? And he was informed that this man was dying from his mind, from an imagination. So the saint said, easy solution. Just vomit. Puratno. Yes, Pugratiti. And then it will come out, and then you have not committed murder. So the man was dying, but he, you know, it came out. And the sadhu, when he was there, when he saw it, he just, bacate puno glavace, and said, see, the puno glavace is in here, it is living, no problem, you are not a murderer. Oh, said the man, now I'm saved. Yes, said the sadhu, and now take this puna glavice and put it in the pond. Don't put it into Mother Ganga, because it cannot exist in the Ganga. It can only live in the pond. So he did not think, he put it and he was saved. So we also have a certain puna glavice in our mind. And we are dying from it. We think we are the body. We don't believe that we are an eternal soul of Krishna. The mind is so powerful. It always tells us lies. What is the mind? The mind, according to Vedic philosophy, is one of three elements which constitute the subtle body. We have a gross body made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, gross substances. And we have a subtle body made out of mind, intelligence, and false ego. The mind has two functions. Who knows the two functions of the mind? Accepting and rejecting. Please write them down. Two functions. All the times we are accepting something or we are rejecting it. Watch your mind when you are in this lecture. It will accept some of the points. And I will make some points which you most probably will not accept. This is the function of the mind. It is helpful. It helps us to go through life. We accept good weather, but we reject bad weather. We accept vegetarian foods which are offered, but we reject meat and alcohol. Accepting and rejecting is done by the mind. The mind also has three very important activities. Who knows the activities of the mind? What does it do? Thinking, feeling, willing. Do you understand by these five points how subtle the mind is? You cannot see it really, but you can perceive it by its functions and activities. Mind is for us like air. Only for psychic people, they can look right into your mind and see what is going on there. But this requires psychic abilities, which most of us do not have. Some have them, and so on. Now, I want to tell you a little story from the Bhagavatam, which summarizes what actually the mind is. And it also tells us a glorious point of someone who could overcome the bad influences of the mind. To understand this story will provide a very helpful illustration, which can give us a deeper understanding. So there was once a Brahmana in the town of Avantipuri who was quite, the English word is stingy. He did never spend money, not even for his family. His children were poorly dressed and his wife constantly dissatisfied. He lived also very poorly and was really stingy. In German you say a Geizhals, a real Geizhals. So it so happened that thieves one night came and stole all his hidden money from him, and he became from one day to the next a poor man. So in this situation he had no other choice to maintain himself than to beg. He went to people. But the people thought, oh, look at this rascal. He was always a Geizhals, a miser. And now he even, you know, does not want to spend anything, nothing at all. Now he comes and begs, can I have some rupees, some bread, some chapatis, some buttermilk? He is a very bad person. So they became very bad towards him. They blasphemed him, you need cough. Sometimes they stole his begging bowl from him. One day he had begged a meal, and one person came and urinated on this meal when he was just about to eat. Can we imagine such a humiliation? We have a plate of prasadam and then all of a sudden, blada, 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 and then we cannot eat. It is great humiliation. Now this Brahmana kept very peaceful because he knew that only his mind was perceiving good and bad. He understood, I am an eternal soul of Krishna. Whatever happens here is no more real than a dream is real. It's a nightmare, but I deserve it, this nightmare, because I was so stingy. Now people are a little bad to me. And he, as a result of his realization, wrote a beautiful song. He said, and I think this is like the song which the whole creation nation should sing. These people are not the cause of my happiness or distress. Neither are the demigods, my own body, the planets, my past work, or time. Rather, It is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. It's only the mind, not an outsider. Today I saw this in our summer camp. We were coming out from the Mangal Aratik and sitting there to chant our rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And soon the whole summer camp was buzzing. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Everywhere devotees were, and the sun was slowly rising. It was a beautiful scene. But there was one Dragi Gosti who sat and looked very sad into the water. And I noticed how inside there was a mind which was giving him problems. It had nothing to do with the atmosphere, nothing to do with the time. The time was perfect. The sun was rising. The birds were beginning to chirp, 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 and the devotees were getting a little ecstatic. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It was a perfect time. Planets, good planetary influence. We were all under the Krishna planet. But he was, you know, there was like a dark cloud around his mind. And I was going a little, oops, you know, oops, oops, to not be covered by the dark cloud. Oops. It is the mind which is the great problem maker, not the people, not the time. Not the ISKCON scandals. Whew. It is the mind. The Brahmana, he says, the mind is stronger than the strongest. Stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, he didn't say it. I'm sorry. And listen to this. And his God-like power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all the senses. We will hear more about this Brahmana and his song a little later. But for now, let us just analyze. The mind is sitting here, it is accepting something as good or bad, and it is rejecting something as good or bad, and it is constantly thinking, it feels, develops its feelings, and develops its decisions, which are feeling. Now for a transcendentalist, the breakthrough in his or her life comes about when he begins to understand that he is different from the mind. You can say, right, breakthrough comes when we realize we are different from the mind. I want to now make an experiment with all of you. I need a pair of cartels for this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry. I have. So, when I make like this, I will give you a duty which you must fulfill by thinking. You must solve this duty by thinking. And when I make like this, it is the end of the experiment. You must please do exactly what I tell you. You must be totally surrendered for 2 minutes to me. 1 minute. 1 minute. Are you ready? Look at this. Can you all see it? Now, Close your eyes. I won't do anything to you. Don't fear. Close your eyes. Now, do not think of what you have just seen. Do not think of the danda. Absolutely do not think of the stick or danda. Try very hard to not think of the danda. Voila. What were you thinking about? The danda. Why? You were not supposed to think of it. My example is so simple. I think you must have expected something more intelligent from me. I wanted to make a point. The mind is an independent entity. You can tell him what he is supposed to do, but he does what he wants to do. He's separate from you. He's like a pass, a dog, who lives with you. You can tell him, my dear pass, be a little bit more cultured. But he doesn't care for you. He does what he wants to do. Now, a devotee begins to understand, my mind is something separate from me. I'm not identical with the mind. Why should I allow to be controlled by the mind? Do you follow this logic? Yes. Yes. Why should I be controlled by a dog? There are some people who we might see this evening in the pantomime, you know, who just follow the dog wherever it goes. But these are not really masters of the dogs, but servants of the dog. Someone who follows his independent mind wherever he goes is in a similar bad situation. So you need to first understand you are separate from the mind. Then the second point you need to understand, this is a little philosophical, that the mind has two modi operandi. Yeah. This is a Croatian word, stavavali, modus operando. It's actually a Latin word, but it's used everywhere. Operandi means the way something operates. Like an alarm clock operates, it says, and everything has a certain way it functions, you could say, modus operandi. One is called para, and the other is called avara. Para means a transcendental thought, and avara means at material thought. The mind can either function in this way or in that way. It depends how you are using it. Srila Prabhupada explained this two functions of the mind by a very simple example. He compared the mind with a glass. In a glass you can either put milk or, for instance, ink. These are just examples. You can put many liquids in the mind. So in the same way, you can actually choose in which direction you want to put your mind. Do you want to make it think materially, or do you want to make it spiritually? To illustrate this, I will get a little bit into psychology. Uno momento. Now I have to dress in white. I have to put a few spectacles on. Can we put this for a moment so that it's easier for everyone to see? We will put it back. And can you help me to bring this a little bit here? Just here, so that. Oops. That we all can see. I personally think if you understand this psychology, which is both in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, as well as in the books of the modern psychological people, you can really learn to use your mind as your friend. All the time in our lives, stimuli are entering our mind. For instance, I see you now. I see Kaukutmi Prabhu. And I look at him. I see his face is full of spiritual effulgence from the nice Harinam program. I can see Govinda Nandini. I remember she just made the most perfect pullover in the universe. It's a stimuli. I see someone. Now I hear something. It sounds like a madanga, but I'm not sure. It is. It's a stimuli. It stimulates my mind. Oh, a madanga. I smell the flowers. No, it's from here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's a stimuli which enters my mind. I become aware of it. Let us call this stimuli. Stimulus is singular, stimuli is plural. Many things come. How do they come into my mind? Through the senses. Very correct. Stimuli through senses. Now, I can, after this has come into my mind, I usually react. Reaction. For instance, my reaction is, ah, oh, what nice flowers. Oh, I hear the children screaming out there. Why do they always scream? And why do they always play madanga? They disturb. I can see certain people and react. Why didn't they bring me a pizza? You know, it's some foolish example. These are really not the best example. So this is how our mind operates. A stimuli enters and a reaction comes. Now, with people, let me see, with the animals, these things are very close together. For instance, the hen sees some grains on the ground and immediately reacts. In one way, it begins to pick the grains. This is the hen. A little uncultured, as you could hear. I am coming from North Germany. We are also not so cultured, by the way. I'm very sorry. I know here some ladies and gentlemen. Please exercise your tolerance and forgiveness on this poor Satchinandan Swami. But I'm getting so much into the preaching, I want to make a point. Now, for a more cultured person, there's a stimulus, and then there is a gap. Let us start here. Between the reaction. For instance, I can think. I get a stimulus and I can think, how do I want to react? For instance, I may hear, like we did in before our house, the ice cream man was coming. In Pula, you have this wasn't sound, isn't it? Who was there? Got a singer. It was meant the ice cream. Now the animal would jump out of the house. Ice cream, very good, an immediate reaction. But the human being can think, do I really need to eat ice cream? It is chemical poison, this ice cream. It's not good for the teeth. After eating, it disturbs the digestion. Does it? Or it does. And he has a possibility to control his reaction. Now, the greater you make this gap between stimulus and reaction, the better you can live. And the smaller this gap is, that is, the more you are controlled by the outside stimulus, the more your life will be, let me say, a little undeveloped. The child is very, there is no gap between him. You know, something happens and immediately he goes, ha 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 ha, or, and cries and cries and cries. The human being can use this gap and think what he is going to do. Human history, or let me say, your life can be described by how big this gap is. How much can you use this gap and think independently? Maybe ask the super soul. And maybe use your imagination. What can we do out of this situation? How can we make it better? I want to tell you a very practical example of my life. I was always a very shy person who never could imagine to speak before or appear before many people. But this was not good for preaching Krishna consciousness. I remember that before each lecture, I had great problems to imagine myself talking to more than three people. And I knew I could not perform my service if this problem would persist. So I began to make an experiment. I said, it's not good if you always panic, Satchinandan. Is there a better way to react than panic? I was thinking. Then I thought, yes, just smile. Then I thought, and you can start to think of nice things you are going to say to your audience. That's why I personally always make notes. Because I want to give my seminars and lectures as good as I can give them. But I know if I'm becoming excited, I cannot think clearly. So therefore, let me write everything down. Then these big concerts started. You know, we had a big stage and 10,000 people before us. And I remember I was standing before the curtain and I still felt a little shy. I did not want to come out. 10,000 people. Horrible. But then again, I made this exercise. I used the gap. I filled my mind with, I'm going to say Haribol to the people. How did you, how are you? And people, you know, I was still shy, but I had, I was not allowing myself to panic, but I was putting into my mind another programming so that I would react in a total different way. Not panic, but in a positive way. Haribol, how are you? I would say, Dobro došli. People would laugh. Ha ha, he knows Yugoslavian. And then I would say, Laku noč. And everyone would laugh like anything. No, no, it's Dovidenja means? No, good evening. Dobro večer, yes. Dobro večer. You know, and but you don't say Laku noč when you start a program, because so I did it wrong always, but I kept it wrong because people knew I'm a foreigner and I tried my best. So, in other words, I was choosing what I was doing with the situation, and I was not allowing my mind to come under the control of the these natural things like shyness or panicking when you are before many people. You have to train this. Train your mind. That means train to use the gap between the stimulus and your reaction by filling it with thinking. You can ask the super soul, oh Krishna, what should I do? Please give me an inspiration. And you can also use your own creativity, your imagination. How to use it. Can you understand that this point is very important? You're looking at me. Radharani, can you understand? Yes. No, you're getting up. I mean, resume? Not so good. Yes. There is a stimulus and if you have an immediate unthought of reaction, you will always remain the person you are. But if you begin to fill this gap which is between the reaction, you can actually come from the material level to the spiritual level. Now, I would like to be a little bit practical. What to do to control the mind? The first thing is really train the mind, or we could say program the mind. Why should the mind program you? Make it your servant. Program it. A good example which is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is fasting. Generally, no one likes to fast. But fasting becomes not so difficult if the day before you enter the fast, you say to your mind, tomorrow we will not eat. Then the mind is in the morning not hungry. This is how you make your Ekadasi fast successful. Or Bhima Nirjal Ekadasi. Who has done Bhima Nirjal Ekadasi in your life? Mm-hmm. Thank you. May I ask you, who of you found it difficult? Mm-hmm. Who of you did not find it difficult? It's a little bit more. Mm-mm. Let me give you a tip how to fast a whole day without having any problems. You just say to your mind, my dear mind, tomorrow we are going to fast. Why? You convince the mind. It's good for spiritual life. My dear mind, please do not become restless tomorrow. Just understand, today there is no food. It is tomorrow there is no food. It is already decided. There is no use of thinking about it. It's clear. We can't change it. And then when you have this understanding, if you have accepted this, it's very easy to go through it. I mean, if you, of course, work like and on ordinary days, it might become difficult. I have always the experience on Jamashtami. In my early days of Krishna consciousness, the fast on Jamashtami was the most terrible thing I could imagine for the whole year to happen. Now, then I decided this is not how a spiritual person should be. I must engage my mind on Jamashtami. So I chanted and I did service on Jamashtami. So last Jamashtami, when there was time to eat, that was 12 o'clock, I had this program, nothing is there, I will not eat today. And I did not even come to the table where everyone was eating, because my mind had no, it was not thinking of eating. You don't need to eat so much. In Germany, there are some devotees who are stopping eating. It just needs a reprogramming of the mind. It's not necessary to derive energy from food alone. You can derive it from prana, from the energy in the air. Yogis have done this. So there are devotees in Germany who think the times will become bad. In ISKCON, but mainly outside of ISKCON, and there may not be anything to eat. So I will train my mind, and it's all right. They can, no problem. It's a certain process. You need to learn this process a little. Hare Krishna, I know you go to Podgorica. To Porridge, yes, Porridge, I meant. Svi Naivaje, all glories to the Jagannath preaching party. So, imagine, there are now about 5,000 people who do not eat. It is a scientific process. 7 days, you really, if you would try it without guidance and without knowledge, it would become very dangerous, and you might have medical problems. Most probably you have. But I'm just saying, it is possible to reprogram the mind. But then you also need to know a little bit the, you know, it's the mind, but then it's little physical things you need to know. If you want to know more about it, you can come after the lecture to me. But this is not, you know, it's not really our process. It is something economical proper. It's very economical. It doesn't cost money, and no vreme. You know how much vreme you, as a grihastha, you cook, and then you have to buy the food, you have to cook the food, you have to eat the food, you have to digest the food, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to sleep afterwards. You know, if there is no food, it makes, you have so much more vreme and so much more money. It's more like a practical thing, not a philosophical thing. So gradually you should train your mind in such a way that it accepts the orders of the soul. spiritual orders for your spiritual life. Now I will tell you three methods how to do this. The first method is you have to consciously direct your mind. In Krishna consciousness, on bhajan, that is chanting Hare Krishna, singing the Lord's holy name, you have to learn, or another example is when you are in the spirit, when you are in the ceremonies, Mangal Arati, please try to not space out during Mangal Arati, but follow everything with your mind. The circles, look at the deities, direct the mind on what you are doing. There was like a New Age slogan, be here now. Bodhite oje sama sada. Yes, that means focus your mind on the activities which you do. Best is spiritual activities or also devotional service. You will see how everything you do becomes much more powerful and intense. It's almost as if the world takes on a new color. You can also direct the mind on Shastra. When you read, we were going about through this already, you should really concentrate your mind. You should penetrate into each word of the Bhagavad Gita. Practice this for a while. The second thing is, develop a spiritual vision and keep it. For instance, understand that everything, that behind everything there is Krishna. Nothing can happen without Krishna. When we had today a little lecture, and then some grasshopper were going like, grrr. How do they go? Grrr, or grrr. I don't know. The grasshopper. Boom, boom. Yeah, staccato. Yeah, yeah. And I was saying to the devotee, this staccato. This grasshopper can only, you know, make the sound because Krishna is allowing him. And at that moment the grasshopper stopped. And he has to stop because Krishna tells him, stop now, it's enough. You should see like this, everything and everyone moves under Krishna's control because he's the controller of all the controllers. If you go through this with this vision through your life, that is Krishna consciousness. This was one of Srila Prabhupada's last purpose. He said, everyone and everything is moving under the full control of Krishna. To understand this, this consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness. Other spiritual visions you can train your mind in is there, you can see others as spiritual souls, for instance. When you see a beautiful Jenna or a beautiful man and you feel a little attracted or repulsed because it's impossible, you know, think here is a spiritual soul in a material body, who thinks, yasam telo. In other words, you can always somehow keep a spiritual vision. And in this way, train your mind to become your friend. Never ever you should allow your mind to become dissatisfied. Oh, I do not have a no-doti. Oh, everyone has new saris, but I have only always the same old rug. Oh, no one likes me. Oh, it is too hot. Oh, it is too cold. The moment you are dissatisfied, Krishna consciousness leaves you. It's the most terrible, terrible poison for the mind to be dissatisfied. You can have physical reactions from this. You can become sick if you allow your mind to be dissatisfied. In the scriptures it is said, when the mind becomes dissatisfied, it is like a pot with holes. When a pot has holes, what happens to its contents? It runs out. This is what happens when you allow your mind to become dissatisfied. Every spiritual thing you have, all your spiritual realizations, all your gratitude towards Guru and Krishna will just run out. It is the most terrible, it is so bad to be dissatisfied. Now in the age of Kali, everyone is dissatisfied and envious and constantly not able to control the mind. Especially brahmanas are advised to remain satisfied. And it's very easy to remain satisfied if you concentrate on what you have instead of concentrating on what you have not. The difference is in one word, have or have not. You always have something. You have the holy name. You have Krishna, you have a dhoti, or a sari, you have service, but the mind always likes to think on what he has not. Our mind is used to think negatively. Oh, I want to make another experiment, because this is a seminar. Now, those of you who have seen it, you cannot say anything because you will disturb the whole joy of this experiment. Okay? We had a little meeting in Rijeka once. I will now write down a few equations and I want you to analyze it and tell me what you see. Wrong. I'm not so strong in these things. Don't say anything. This is enough because I'm not so good in mathematics. So what do you see here? Is this all right? Someone says no. Someone says yes. You have destroyed my pleasure. Yes, but he had said the same. Who said no? What? Explain. Who thinks also like this? About this whole thing. It doesn't work so good with you because you are intelligent. What I wanted to say, this has, like Dharan Udara said, it has actually, wait, five, not four. It had five correct things and one incorrect thing. But usually when I make this experiment, everyone goes like, no, wrong, wrong. Sorry, I'm jumping on the Sachinandan Swami tape ministry here. This is the usual, we see always the bad things. That's the point. We are not programmed to see the good things. Somehow it didn't work so good with you. because you knew I would make just something to... you wanted to be clever than me. And but at least half of the crowd... it worked with half of the crowd. It's not so bad. I think the point is very clear. Usually we are programmed on thinking negatively. Where is the mistake? Where is the... we never are programmed to think, what is good? So learn to become satisfied. Learn to see the good. Especially learn to see the good in others. To see the good in others is just very, very good for your spiritual development. I have an example. I just saw one of you who had the finger in the mouth. So usually we don't do this for hygienic reasons. So my mind was thinking, oh, how bad, how uncultured. But then I decided, no, how good. This person is here in a spiritual seminar. Dobro! You have to learn to see things positively. That will change the whole life. The next thing is, we should pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, you are the master of the senses and the mind. I offer my obeisances unto you again and again. And Prabhupada writes in this beautiful purport, that the mind is a director of the senses. You know, whatever the mind tells, the senses will do. But Lord Aniruddha, that's the name of Krishna, is a director of the mind. In order to execute devotional service, one has to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Shiva prays to the controller of the mind, Lord Aniruddha, to be pleased to help him engage his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mat bhakto majaji mang namaskuru. The mind has to be engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord in order to execute devotional service. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita, Matasmiti jnanam apohanam cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Thus, if Lord Aniruddha or Lord Krishna is pleased, he can help the mind engage in the service of the Lord. It is, well, and then things come out that Lord Aniruddha, one of the expansions of Aniruddha is the sun god. And Prabhupada tells a very interesting thing, that people who are in the sun usually have a mind which is more full of light. The Asiatic people who are always in contact with the sun are not so mentalny. But for instance, the Swedish people, there are times where the sun is only out for 4 hours in a day, are very mentalny. So, because Krishna's expansion is the sun god, Surya Narayan, and the sun is influencing our mind, Krishna is really the influence, the positive influence of our mind. If you want to understand this very nice subject matter, please read in the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 24th chapter, text number 36, and there you will find this in the purport. Just as fire sterilizes all unclean things, the sun god also keeps everything sterilized, especially dirty things within the mind, thus enabling one to attain elevation to the platform of spiritual understanding. What this means for us, we should always have the Krishna sun in our mind. How to do this? I will now explain this, and this is my last point. This is really the ultimate solution. You might have seen in my seminar so far, I have always had things where I said, this is the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution in Krishna consciousness is always to put Krishna in the center of our activities. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachangsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Haro Karo Hare Mandi Ramajanadiso Shutam Hare Mandi Shutim Shakara Chuta Satkatodaye. This is what Maharaj Ambarisha did to always stay in Krishna consciousness. He was a king who was a great devotee, and I think we can learn from the things which he did. If you want to note this down, please note with me. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. Misli, 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 Krishna, misli, misli. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. He spoke about Krishna. Today we learned, if you do not speak about Krishna, but talk about Prajalpa, your determination and your intelligence will be stolen. These are the things which go away. You don't, after a materialistic talk, your determination and your spiritual intelligence is futch. Futch is a Rohini Sutta Prabhu word. Futch means it has gone away. So he used his words in describing the Lord. His hands in cleansing the Lord's temple. And he used his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. The ears are like big antennas. We should put the words of Krishna in the ears. What did he do with his eyes? Who can imagine? He was watching the form of the deity, says Brigamudi. Very correct. And he also watched Krishna's temples and places which Krishna, where Krishna is, like Mathura and Vrindavan. He had a touch sense of touch. What did he do with the touch sense? He was together with devotees. When you are together with devotees, you sometimes ramble against the devotee, you know, walk against the devotee, you know, like this, touch. What did he do with his nose? Flowers, he smelled flowers. Yes, it is alright, but he smelled the fragrance of the tulasi, which were offered to Lord Krishna. This is very powerful. Tulasi. What did he do with the tongue? That's easy. He tasted prasad. Yes. Now what did he do with his legs? He walked to the temple. And to the holy places of the Lord. Yes. What did he do with his head? He bowed down. You are all very learned. And then what did he do with his desires? This I find is the most difficult. Fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Yes, all his desires in serving the Lord means fulfilling his desires 24 hours a day. Hari Bol. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarisha never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. If you want to read this, what Maharaj Ambarisha did, please read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 18 through 20. This is my seminar on the mind. I was going a little fast today because the organizers told me we are expecting Jayapataka Maharaj any moment, but I think until he comes we can have some questions and answers and then greet him with a wonderful kirtan. Do you have some questions? Yes. Wait, you get a microphone. Here it is.
Your experiment, you showed us that mind is independent entity.
Yes.
But at the other hand, you told us that we have to use the mind properly to train it, and in that way, I can't even theoretically understand how it is possible to control or to use or to train something which is independent of me.
Yes. It is easy. No, it's not easy. I'm sorry. But if the mind would be you, it would be totally impossible. You can only use something which is outside of you. Like, for instance, anything, you know, because this is not me, I can take it up and I can open it. I can't do this so much. In other words, there is a difference between the seer and the seen. You are the seer and the mind is what is seen. It is something which is outside of you, and therefore you can manipulate it and use it in your way according to the way you please. But you must know that the mind is quite powerful, and therefore it is not always agreeable to be used by you. You must train to use the mind, almost like you train a horse. Now, when you train a horse, you cannot be too heavy with it and also not too slabby. once we were on a horse ride, and the horse just decided to eat grass. Just went and started to eat grass, and we went like, "Madam T, please move. We need to go somewhere." But the horse was had decided, "No, I will not move. I will eat." So if you want to work with this horse, you can't allow this. You have to train it, please. When I go like this, it means go. And when I go like this, it means stop. It's a training. In the same way, you have to learn to train the mind. It's something which you must, you must really train it. But I want to give you one tip. Don't be too heavy. If you always force yourself, if you always say no to your mind, there will be great problems in your life. You must learn to sometimes give some slobodan to this mind without, you know, allowing it to come into maya. This is a great art. For instance, when you don't feel so satisfied and so many rules and regulations make you always more dissatisfied, you have to sometimes make a pause. Maybe read for a day. Maybe read some literature which is, you know, like Satsvarup Maharaj's books. I recommend them very much, you know, which helps you a little bit. You know, they're not so heavy philosophical, but at the same time Krishna conscious. Sometimes you must be soft with your mind. You must sometimes give it some time to pause. Sometimes you may have a very strict day, but there must be times, for instance, when you meet with a friend and then you talk and talk and talk up till 2 o'clock in the night. This is sometimes necessary to just, you know, because it's like with a horse. When you go too intense with the horse, after some time you will break the horse. Sometimes people have observed that some devotees seem to be so much in inattention. When the doctors, there are these eye doctors, eye diagnosis, and they look into the eyes of people and they can diagnose what is the disease. You know this? Iris diagnosis. You know, for instance, they may see some unnatural deformation in the pupilla, and then they can see something is wrong with the liver. So some eye doctors have said, after investigating several devotees, that there is always a flickering in the eye, like a light. And this shows them that the devotees are sometimes very much tense people. Like high voltage. This is not good. It means they force themselves too much. You can only force yourself to a certain degree, and then you must sometimes make a little pause. Bhakti Charu Maharaj always, he makes a very, very nice point. He says, "How long can you hold the hand like this?" It is really... eyeball. Krishna, Krishna. After some time, it's just too much. You must. But how long can you hold the hand like this? I would say a whole lifetime. But if you always like You mean Puno Snaga. Puno Snaga. It is limited. Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then this tension spreads throughout your whole body, and then this is not healthy. So you must not always be like in the mind. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, a yogi is someone who is moderate between work and relaxation. He eats. A yogi is not someone who eats too much, and also not someone who eats too little. A yogi is not someone who sleeps too much, but also not someone who sleeps too little. It has to be some balance. If you do something too much or too little, like also mind control and so on, you will not be happy in the end. It will not be the best solution. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, please? Yes?
You talked about this gap which should exist between the stimuli and our reaction, and that we should think about how we are going to react about a certain stimuli. But he says that today we are living in times which are
very brisk, very
yes,
fast.
Yes, and the rhythm of life is so fast that sometimes you get maybe 10 information in a second.
Yeah.
And how is it possible to think over each one of these stimuli that comes to us and then to react only after thinking about it?
Very good question. I think we all realize what you have said is true. See, for a devotee, it is very important to live a simple life. Try to, you know, not have a complicated life. Simplify. When your life is too complicated, you will always be hectic. And if you are always in stress, if you are always in stress, then you cannot do what is correct, because you will be always pushed. You need to have a life which is a little simplified. But your observation is correct. In modern times, people are more and more forced to not think, especially not spiritually. Therefore, Prabhupada gave this formula: simple living, high thinking. It is so true. I feel devotees have to be the first ones to apply this formula. See, the human being is only meant for a certain amount of information. But in the modern times, there's information overload. It's just like you are meant for a certain amount of food per day. You can eat maybe one pizza. I don't know how much is your you know, maybe such a plate, morning and breakfast. But if you eat every hour such a plate, it will be too much. Simplify. Please do it. It is very important. And some informations and so on, you just say, it is not possible for me. Especially now we go in also in our movement through some interesting times. But some informations are not good for us. When someone comes and tells you, you must say to this person, I am a simple devotee. I am not very advanced. If I hear too much negative things, I will come under the influence of Maya. Please have mercy. Is there any other question? Do we still have time, Dinanath, for questions? You're not because of that. Good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who? Yes, please. Yeah. How can we know what is too much and what is too little? I think by your reaction. It's just like eating. No one can really tell you what is too much and too little for you. But you will find out. When you eat too much, you know it. It's bloop, and you know, and you lose all your energy. This you have to find out yourself, what is too much and for me, there may be a different too much and different too little than for you. I'm sure that I can swim longer than you without even knowing you because I was growing up near the beach. So you might say 2 hours in the water is too much for me. You know, this individualism is very important. Mm-hmm. Mukunda. To yourself. Uh-huh. Please repeat. Stavavali. Did you understand? Please put her louder so that she can speak for the everyone. Did you understand the question, or you seem to be to always think positively? Does this refer to your own? Wait! Does this refer to your own mind? I mean, should you think positively about yourself or about others?
Dakle, to pozitivno razmišljanje odnosi li se ono na naš vlastiti um? Da li bismo trebali pozitivno razmišljati o sebi ili I o drugima?
About others, I think it's easy. Should try to see the positive. But sometimes you have to be practical and understand this person in different situation is acting impossible. The same is, I think, with you, your mind. Try to see the positive in yourself, but also be critical. The general instruction is, be strict with yourself and lenient with others. Usually we are strict with others and very lenient, liberal with ourselves. Ah, yes, some urednu. This is the general rule. But see, if you are again too strict with yourself, then you lose all encouragement. You think, oh, there's nothing good in me. Do you know there are these devotees who sometimes sit in the corner and think, I'm so bad. No one loves me. I'm puffed up. I'm envious. I'm lusty. I'm full of bad qualities. My parents are meat eater. And so on. All they do from morning till evening is meditate about bad material qualities. What do you think what will become out of them? Their mind is totally lust, greed, bad family. I'm poor. So you need to sometimes balance this strictness with yourself by seeing also the mercy which you have gotten. See, in New Age terms, you are advised to think good about yourself. Feel good about yourself. Love yourself. Think positively. See that you are a unique, individual person with very special talents. You are one in a million. Blah, blah, blasky. In Krishna consciousness, you try to be a little strict with yourself. See, I have a long way to go. If I'm honest, there are many things which are not yet totally all right, and so on and so forth. Balance this also, I would say like this, balance this by meditating about the mercy and the chances which you have gotten. Don't meditate, I'm urednu, because you may not yet, you are still a conditioned soul, but don't become mental. Meditate about the mercy. I have a devotee friend. He saw that his life was not so happy in Krishna consciousness. So one day, he went before Radha Madhava. And he prayed to the deities, "My dear Lord, I always try to serve you. But today, I would like to ask you, please show me what you have done for me. Because love is a two-sided affair. We are called, we should love God. That means practically we are serving Krishna, we are doing things for him. But today I want to see how you love me." Isn't that natural? If you give always, 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 you want to one day see what is a person thinking about you to whom you are giving all this. No? Well, so he stood before the deities. And then all of a sudden, you know Radha Madhava in Mayapur? Very, very merciful deities. All of a sudden, it started. The first thing he thought is, "Oh, Radha Madhava have given me prasadam every day. Radha Madhava or Krishna have given me Srila Prabhupada." He's a Prabhupada disciple. "Radha Madhava have given me this wonderful process to purify myself and to become a devotee of them." And he had many, many thoughts like this. Maybe you want to make this experiment yourself. Find out what Radha Madhava or what Krishna has done for you. I think each one of us will get a very a nice list together. Please try it. Because love is a two-sided affair, really. It's described like this, a loving exchange. Give and take. It's a process. You can love for some time the one way, but for a long time it's not possible. So therefore I think it's important for devotees to meditate what Krishna has done for them. What do you think, Tatpurusha? It's a good idea, isn't it? One can just... I know each one of you, when he begins to really think, or she begins to really think, there are many things. I know what Nrisinghananda would put first on his list, but I'm not telling you because it's private. Jelko. Jelko is such a nice devotee. I want to praise him. He has built the Karuna Bhavan so nicely with others. Zinisha is also here. Dinisha, the expert with making Indian mud houses. Here he is. Dinisha, what is your name? Shime, I'm sorry, Shime. And Christian. Many devotees from Zagreb and Croatia. Not many, I think five. Huh? Five. Nenad, Mladen, yeah. And Jelko. You're still Jelko? No, I'm sorry, you should say. You have to tell it to me again, that I remember. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the whole art. Yes. Yeah, when you are in passion, you act Brizzo Plato. Is this a correct Croatian word? Yes, now I'm Croatian. So very good. How to make it wider? This is explained in the 11th canto. What you have to learn and exercise is to put sattvic things between the stimulus and the reaction. Let me give you a very practical example in eating. You have a full plate and you know it's actually too much and it will cause your morning program harm. In the evening sometimes we have the situation, I think. So for a person where there is no gap between stimulus and reaction, he would have no chance to survive this plate, which is too much. Now the person who has practiced a little bit the mode of goodness in his or her life, you know, he has more opportunity. So it comes back to the old point which has come again and again into our seminar. In order to be free or exercise your freedom, you must practice a life in the mode of goodness. You must talk the right things. You must see that your mind is, that you are satisfied in a spiritual way. Then it's easy to control. But if you are under stress, if you are totally bored, all symptoms of mode of ignorance and passion, you have no gap, you have no exercise. But I would recommend you, one of the symptoms of the mode of goodness is to think about mistakes which you have made in the past and to learn from them. To give you a very practical example, maybe because you are born in a temperamental family, you are always reacting too strongly. So you have come many times in a situation where you were maybe a little agitated and you were going like shh, like your grandfather and your father have done. It's almost genetic. So then after maybe a day you think, oh no, I have become so agitated and in my agitation I have offended this nice Vaishnava. So how will I act next time? You see the mistake and you correct it. And next time you are in such a situation, you know, oh, I have made a good program in myself. Now let us go according to the program. It really works wonder. I can't say your real name now. It really works wonder. meditate about the mistakes you have analyze the mistakes you have made, and then make a positive correction, and then live this. It really works wonder. Have some of you had experiences of this praxis? Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. You see, any other questions? Yes, Narada Rishi. Not Narada, Devashi Narada. No, sorry, yes.
So this is about positive thinking. He is asking, isn't it maybe a too high a level for us, a level of maybe of Uttamadhikari, who sees that everything is all right, that all persons are okay, because he feels that maybe it could happen, as Prahladananda Maharaj gave the example, when Srila Prabhupada chastised his disciples
mm-hmm.
and said, I never told you to give up your intelligence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See, a spiritual person, very good question. I want to also say that this is the last question for today, because we have 7 o'clock and we can start the Aratik. And I want to make another practical announcement. Now, a person on this soul, any person in this world has to act on two levels. One is the spiritual level, and the other is the conditional level. With the conditional level, I mean, we are souls in this world, and we in a body, and we have to take care of this. For instance, if you would only act on the level of spiritual soul, why do you eat? Why do you sleep? Why do you bathe? The soul doesn't get dirty. But obviously you have to eat, and you have to sleep, and you have to bathe. Because there are two levels, a conditional, and then there is a spiritual level. Both of these levels have to be kept intact. You see, a person is a spiritual soul, but that doesn't mean you embrace a woman the same way you embrace a god brother. Maybe you are a disciple of His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, I believe. Yeah. So you have many god sisters, but you embrace your god brothers, and to your god sisters you say, Hari Bol. You see your god sisters in a spiritual way, but at the same time you recognize, well, we are in different bodies. These two ways one has to know. Look spiritually, but also don't lose what is called the discrimination. Discrimination is on the material platform, you know. Or what is what on what level. So I want to thank you very, very much for coming to this seminar. I hope it has enlivened you and given you great spiritual inspiration. Let me just make a practical announcement. Tomorrow we have the seminar at the same time again, at 5 o'clock, as I'm informed. This is at least the plan. So we will, seminar will be our last, means tomorrow's seminar. We will start with a very nice and short piece, I personally consider it the most important part of my seminar. It's called To Overcome Obstacles in Chanting and Hearing. Or reading. You might have noticed that throughout the seminar, I have always spoken about spiritual solutions, and I have recommended in almost every solution that the chanting and the reading in Srila Prabhupada's books can help us to come on the spiritual level in our existence, where we overcome the obstacles, which are nothing else than anattas. Now, what if we can't chant and if we can't read so well? What to do at that time? This is the subject matter of tomorrow's seminar, the first part. The Drugo Deli, the second part, Drugo Dela, the second part will be individual devotees who will present for all of us the results of the group work. This is usually very interesting, and we can usually learn a lot from this. So I would be very happy if the group finish their work for tomorrow, and that you have some nice deep things to share with the whole audience. We will see actually how others have digested this seminar. We will learn from others, and I think we will get many inspirations for us. I want to now conclude the seminar by saying, Go Premanandi Ariyaribo! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Sisi go nitai ki jai! Shinesh Karuna Nishinga Deva ki jai! Gaura Premanandi Ariyaribo!
Hare Krishna, još jedna obavijest. Pošto smo vidjeli da, odnosno čuli da ima još dosta pitanja koja nisu odgovorena jer nije bilo vremena tokom seminara, mi vas molimo da sutra svi koji imate neka pitanja napišite na komad papira pitanja i onda ćemo u toku pauze skupiti sva ta pitanja. I sad će Nandana Mahadži obećao da će prvom prilikom na turneji po Srbiji, kad budemo vremena, odgovoriti na sva ta pitanja. Ona će biti snimljena na kazetu, tako da ćete moći naručiti kazetu sa odgovorima na sva pitanja. A isto tako, ja bih molio da svi lideri grupa sutra nakon lekcije budu spremni, tako da se dogovorimo kada ćete procesirati, odnosno kada ćete napraviti zajednički rad, tako da bi prezentacija mogla poslije ići popodne. Znači, svi lideri sutra nakon lekcije, ja vas molim da čekate jutarnje lekcije Šima Bagavatama, budete ovdje ispred čatora, da se dogovorimo kada ćete se naći i napraviti taj zajednički posao. Hare Krishna.
Samo još jedna obavijest, molim sve učenike Sačinandana Maharadže da dođu ovdje u ovaj kut sada prije nego što izađu iz šatora, samo trebamo neki kratki dogovor napraviti.
Does anybody need English translation? How many of you need English translation or don't speak Croatian?
Excuse me? Možete slobodno malo bliže priči da bismo...
Da. Divya Prabandha, pravo, gdje je Divya Prabandha? Ili Mataji ova, kako se zove, iz Daruvara. Blanka, da. Mataji Blanka, je li tu? Materijal sa onim zadnjim dijelom koji je trebao, ali kao što se Sačanana sam rekao u seminaru da ako se jeste odgovoreno pitanje, ako ne postoji mogućnost za obrazovanje, obrazujemo se sami. Stoga ja se nadam da će svako od vas večeras imati lijepe realizacije, odnosno da ih već ima, da u razgovoru sa baktama možemo naučiti puno toga, da nije potrebno da sve dolazi negdje od gore, gotovo na papiru, sistematizirano, u obliku knjige itd. Tako da bi sad željeli čuti što ste vi, kakvi ste spoznaja došli što se tiče sadržaja ovog seminara kroz ove kratke prezentacije. Ne morate biti dugi, ideja da ukratko opišete što ste radili, do čega ste došli u nekoliko minuta. A nakon toga ćemo u drugom dijelu večerašnje radionice, možemo tako nazvati, pokušati ocijeniti što se dešavalo s aspekta našeg međusobnog druženja. No. Znači, to će biti ono što nas večeras, što ćemo pokušati ostvariti. Znači, u prvom dijelu ćemo čuti 6 prezentacija, 6 predstavnika svih vas. Demokratskim izborima su došli van. A nakon toga ćemo pokušati ocijeniti što se dešavalo u ovih nekoliko dana u vašem međusobnom druženju, što možemo naučiti iz te perspektive. Govinda Nandaprabhu, ja bih molio ako ti možeš dati prezentaciju kratku sa vaše grupe.